They worry her garn off to shed tears.
Roanoke shook her head wonderingly.
I heard him yesterday as I was walking through the forest. It must be very hard for him. He never mentions Rose.
Pollikin busied herself with breakfast.
No, marm, nor will him, nor I don't think never. That little mousy maid be locked in Marthin's art, and therm she'm bound to stay.
Grum blinked and sniffed.
Marthin be a good, brave warrior, though I won't go back to Noondale. Too many memories for him there.
Pollikin's breakfast was good homely fare. Oatmeal with honey, nut bread spread thick with strawberry preserve, and a steaming pot of mint and dandelion tea. Martin ate automatically, neither tasting nor commenting on the food. When he had finished, he made a simple announcement.
I am leaving today.
It was the first time he had spoken since the Battle of Marshank. His friends waited for him to say more, but he sat silent, staring at his empty plate, face calm and resolute. It was then that Roanoke knew Martin had rejoined the land of the living.
Will you come to Noonvale with us? We will be leaving to go there today.
The young mouse sat, testing the sword blade against his paw, pressing so hard that he almost drew blood.
I can never return to Noonvale. I will travel alone, south.
Grum knew it was no use trying to change his friend's mind.
Where be you magoin? What be you magoin to do, Martin?
They listened carefully, knowing that this would be the last time he would speak to them at any length.
One day, maybe, I will hang up this sword and be a creature of peace. Until then, I must follow the way of the warrior. It is in my blood. Have no fear. I will never mention Noonvale, or any of you. Noonvale is a secret place, untouched by evil. I could not forgive myself if I unknowingly sent trouble there. No beast will know from where I came.
Palom stared quizzically at his stern-eyed friend.
But what will you say? We had such adventures together. Maybe in another time, another place, you will tell the tale.
Never.
Martin shook his head slowly.
I will only say that I guarded my father's cave against sea rats while he was away. When I felt that he would not return, I began my wanderings. How could any beast understand what we went through together? The freedom we won and the friends we lost.
The comrades sat in silence, each with their own memories. Pollikin rose stiffly and cleared away the remnants of their final meal together. Soft autumn sunlight had cleared away twining wreaths of mist that hung over the still woodlands. Leaves were falling in a crisp brown carpet, and a mild hoar frost melted to glistening dewdrops as the five companions took their leave of each other in the silent, timeless morning. Martin carried his sword slung across his back over an old cloak. Pollikin had made packs of food for them all. Grum held his ladle in front of his face to hide the tears he could not stop from flowing. Roanoke embraced the warrior awkwardly, standing back as Palom and Grum did likewise. Pollikin kissed them all on the cheeks. Roanoke squared her broad shoulders and smiled.
We will never forget you, Martin the Warrior. Come on, let's see if we can make this place ring one last time with the old war cry.
Birds flapped their startled wings as four voices yelled aloud.
And freedom!
Pollikin stood alone, watching as Martin was lost among the trees, a solitary figure going south. The ancient mole wife slowly poured her flowery apron, eyes clouding over as the destiny of the lone traveller stole unbidden into her mind.
I told you 'twould be bad fate if you returned to Marshank with thy mouse maiden. Now there be only you left, young'un. Boar, you've got some hard days to go yet a while, though happiness will be thine in time yet to come. But for all seasons, every beast shall remember thy name, Marthin the Warrior.
Chapter 45.
Down in Cavern Hall at Redwall Abbey, a night and a day had passed, and the fire and wall torches had been replenished four times since the mousemaid Aubrecia had begun her story. There was not a one who had fallen asleep throughout the whole epic tale, nor was there a creature who had not shed a tear. Abbot Saxtus took off his spectacles and sighed in the silence that had reigned since Aubrecia stopped talking.
Pollikin was right, of course. Martin did go on to find happiness. he forsook the warrior's way and dedicated himself to peace, the founding of our order and the building of Red Wall. But tell me, how did you know all this? Who told the story to you, Obricia?
The big hedgehog, Bulltip, puts aside his tankard.
I can answer that, Father Abbot. Obricia comes from the ruling line of Noonvale, though she and I have not been back there in a full season. The blood of Orin Vaux runs in her veins. Her great ancestor was called Brome the Healer, brother of Rose. My great ancestor, far back in the mists of countless days, was called Palom the Peaceful. I'm a direct descendant of his line.
Simeon passed his sensitive paws gently over Aubrecia's face.
You have inherited the beauty of Brome's sister.
The mouse maid undid a thong from about her neck. On it was a brilliantly carved locket of scallop shell. She opened it.
Every creature who sees this says the same thing.
Abbot Saxtus took the locket carefully. Inside was a picture painted with plant and vegetable dyes on a small tablet of polished cherry wood. It was a miniature portrait of Martin and Rose, carried out in loving detail. Both their faces seemed to stare out at him across the dust and time of bygone seasons.
Martin looks exactly like his picture on the tapestry, though younger. You are right, Obricia. You could have passed for Rose's twin sister. This is a marvellous thing. Where did it come from?
It was given to the family of Brome by an owl called Emelette.
The mouse maid answered as she rummaged in her herb satchel.
Boldred, her mother, was a great artist, besides being a good mapmaker. Bulltip and I left Noonvale early last summer. We had heard tales of Martin and Redwall from travellers since we were babes, so we set out to see the abbey for ourselves. Here is something I brought with me for Redwall.
The abbot took the gift. Donning his spectacles, he looked at it curiously, turning it this way and that.
Thank you very much, but please excuse my ignorance. What is it?
Obricia explained about the sprig with its attached wet loam bag.
Grum planted a rose on the grave of Rose. It is a red rose. Sometimes it flowers later than others, and we call it late rose. This is a cutting from the original bush. It is very sturdy.
Simeon felt the little shoot tenderly.
This spring I will plant it in our abbey grounds. It will bloom and flourish in memory of the mouse maid. Late Rose, what a pretty name. That was Rose's full title as you told it. Late Rose of Noonvale, daughter of Orin Vaux and Aria.
Abbot Saxtus returned Aubrecia's locket.
We thank you, my child, for everything. Late Rose will remain precious to Redwall Abbey. Martin gave it strength. Now Rose will give it beauty. Now I am tired, and you must be too, friends. Go and rest. Stop at our home for as long as you wish. You are both welcome.
The entire company walked together up the stairs from Cavern Hall to their rooms. Aubrecia and the abbot went paw in paw.
Thank you for your offer, Father Abbot. Bulltip and I would love to stay here through winter until the spring.
There is always room for you and Bulltip here, Aubrecia. Our abbey is a place of friendship. Anyone, young or old, who has read or heard of Redwall may come and visit us. If you are honest and of good heart, no matter what the season, our door is open to you. Whether for the first time or for the return of an old companion, you are welcome. Please, feel free to visit us any time you pass by this way.
You've been listening to Martin the Warrior, written and narrated by Brian Jakes. The cast were, in alphabetical order, Colin Bean as Abbot Saxtus, Bark John, Luke, Lumpback, Stumptooth, Fraggan and the Warden. Ron de la Cruz as Friar Cocklebur, Alder, Grum, Balor, Hilgorse and Stiffier. Dave Food was Durry Quill, Captain Tramonclog, Hisk, Keeler, Trung and Groot. Brian Jakes played Formole and Buckler. Mark Jakes was Martin and Bag. Angela Heslop as Caston, Roanoke, Pelican and Marigold. Diane Lane played Tulgrew, Gouchy, Windred, Guillaume and Gulber. Greg Longridge was Run, Droop, Brome, Oilback, Gruzzle, Boggs and Stewer. Sullendine, Teaselpaw, Mildwort and Arya were played by Nicky McKay. Billy Marr was Bulltip, Fleabane, Palom, Wetpaw, Crableg and Grouch. Ron Meadows as Feldo, Yarrow, Bluehide, Frogbit, Bloodnose, Agril and the voice of the Murdop. Jason Mulhern featured as Gabe Quill, Scowrag, Bugpaw, Yarrow, Findo, Starwort and Floater. And Rachel Murphy was Rose and Abricia. Cheryl Parsons played Queen Amballa, Trefoil, Boldred and Juniper. Simon Smithies was Lord Badrang, Grub, Rotnose, Gritter and Bungo. Keddy Sutton played Nipwort, Dinger, Purslane, Fuffle, Hoopoe, Dipper and Burnett. Liam Tobin was Simeon, Gurad, Crosstooth, Fescue, Wulp, Wacker, Urran Vo, Flink and Gumbler, and other parts played by members of the cast. Executive producers were Bruce Coville and Timothy Ditlow. The director, Caroline Adams. Incidental music was composed by Billy Marr, with the songs by Brian Jakes. The production was recorded at BBC Radio Merseyside, with the engineer Neil Seddon and studio assistants Liz Crampton, Elsa Parkin and Michael Cusmano. It was edited at Todd Hoban Studios, the editor, J. Cody Carter.